Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Minka Fitzpatrick on whether the Steelers' defense was still able to generate any pressure after T.J. Watt left.
No, I think we still have enough talent to put pressure on them. I think, you know, as a including myself, I had to do better executing. You know what I'm saying? I had to do better, just getting to the ball and playing. But, you know, TJ is a great player for us. And like I've been saying this whole time, it doesn't matter who's in there, who's not out there, because we're still putting pressure on them. You know what I'm saying? They're just making tough plays, tough catches in the secondary. So, that's it, really.
Before he went out, four tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble for TJ Watt. Late in the first half, he left with that groin injury. The Raiders finished that drive that they were on when he left with a field goal to take the lead at 9-7 going into the half, a lead they wouldn't relinquish the rest of the way.
And I would disagree with Minka Fitzpatrick.
I would as well.
Heavily. You could draw a line. Yeah, okay. You know, whenever you see those pictures and like it's in National Geographic or on the internet or wherever, there's that one picture where the two oceans come together,
right.
And it's like one is like brownish, yeah. And then the other's kind of
here's
grayish.
Where the freshwater of the Mississippi dumps into the Gulf of Mexico.
It was that distinct for me. Here's TJ Watt out of the football game. Now, here's where you make real big hay against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's where Carr is insanely more comfortable. It's like whenever you're walking down an alley and it's dark or it's light, you're not looking over your shoulder in the dark. You're not worried. And it's daytime. You're like, oh, I'm okay here.
Right.
There just might be a rat run out from that dumpster. But nobody's going to stab me or try to mug me or whatever.
Right.
It's daytime. I'm not going to get mugged in the daytime. That's what it was like. That as soon as Watt left, it became daytime for Carr.
And look, Melvin Ingram is good, but he's not TJ Watt. He's just not. And more importantly, the trickle down when they tried to keep that three outside linebacker rotation going meant that Jameer Jones got 15 snaps on defense as well. That's not going to get it done. And then I saw people saying, this is exactly why you don't pay a guy $80 million guaranteed.
No, it's exactly
why you do. Exactly. It's exactly why TJ Watt is worth the $80 million. Because you saw what happened to the defense when he left the damn game. It was a completely different defense. And yes, Hayden, Bush, Tuitt, Alualu, all missing as well. But they were getting by without all of those guys until TJ Watt left. TJ Watt leaves and the defense just deflates.
Plus, Ingram is good for is really good at one punch or for one snap or a couple snaps. You could tell he can't get the volume of snaps on Ingram. He's just not that guy. Watt can do it motor-wise. It was curious. They had Watt and Hayward out of the game to start a series once just before Watt got hurt. But
I think
anyhow,
Cam got a little dinged up at one point, too, so that
too.
May have fed into that.
But anyway, the snaps, like, you see Ingram, and he shoots out of his first couple snaps. Wow, he's in the backfield. He is going to get winded. I mean, that's just what – he's at the point of his career where he can't play every single down.
That's why he's perfect as the third guy in
right.
the rotation, or even the second guy in the rotation, and Highsmith is – whatever it is, a part of the rotation. When the rotation goes from Watt, Ingram, Highsmith to Ingram, Highsmith, Jameer Jones – that's an enormous drop-off. Enormous. And this defense...
Who rolled on Carr, by the way. Jameer Jones.
Yeah,
is that
he
who
did.
It was?
I can't believe they didn't flag that.
I can't believe Carr laid there. Carr was like my son or daughter in the backyard, by the way. They laid there like we were going to have to call an ambulance.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. What is this? What's happening
and then,
here? And then all of a sudden, he just popped up, jogged off.
Yeah. And then as soon as you're done yelling at their brother or sister for doing something to them and they get punished and sent to their room, the other one's like, yeah, I'm good. Okay. Let's hey, Dad, you want to play?
Yeah.
No, it was very UEFA-ish of Carr there, I thought, trying to buy a call there. But the defense, I don't know what the extent of T.J. Watt's groin injury is going to be, but this defense is clearly not the same when he's not in there. And if he's going to miss any significant amount of time, like several weeks or more, and you're on top of Tua not coming back within the next week, maybe two, we don't know when he'll be back. Alu-Alu's done for who knows how long with a busted ankle. We don't know what's up with Hayden and Bush's injuries because they're soft tissue injuries that happened at practice on Friday. This defense is severely depleted when you take that many names out, and the cherry on top of the poop sundae is no T.J. Watt
now,
for the second half.
You know there are multiple people on the text line and on Twitter last night and a bunch of different places saying that T.J. Watt, they think he got hurt, and they can identify it. They think he got hurt doing his kick celebration.
No, you could see in the midst of the play when he got hurt.
I know.
He immediately reached for his groin muscle.
That is the conspiracy theory this morning, though.
Of course.
That
he got hurt. He got hurt because he celebrated, or he got hurt because he didn't fully participate in camp, or he got hurt because his wallet's too fat now.
Lambert
and it's leaning
never would have done the
No.
Larry Fitzgerald handled
if you,
football
if
to
your
the
legitimate
officials.
Takeaway from T.J. Watt being injured is...
That is a lot of people's. I'm telling you, I'm reading it right now, that he got hurt during the kick celebration, and that's what you got coming to you when you celebrate
like
that.
If that's your legitimate thought this morning, stop sprinkling paint chips on your chipped ham sandwich before you eat your lunch. That's ridiculous. And don't sit there and pretend like you know that he got hurt because, well, he wasn't doing as much during camp. That's why he got hurt, you know? How the hell do you know? You're not out there. I cannot, until I'm definitively, given proof that is indisputable. There's no way I can judge how a guy got hurt. I just can't. Injuries happen.
Well, I do
Hayden
know that it hurt
Bush
this football team and it debilitated them. We can all agree on that.
We can agree on the fact that this defense is not the same with that man.
If you want to spin it like, okay, he's hurt, he's not in the game, and he's not worth the money, you go ahead and feel free. To me, it shows exactly because of the drop-off why he is worth that money. You know what's not a debate? That money anymore. Because he got it, and he got the contract, and he's going to be here.
And that's exactly why. If that had happened to him in the preseason before a contract was signed, again, I know nobody's going to feel sympathy for a man making however many millions of dollars, but that's exactly what he wanted to avoid.
Well, and if they can kind of float by and maybe, let's say he's out 2-3 weeks. Like, I hate to say this, but I'd rather him get hurt now than get hurt later
December.
In the season. Yes.
If you can float by and look, we still don't know what Green Bay is. Maybe we'll find out more tonight. I don't know. But if you can get by Cincy and Green Bay, and if you could even get all the way to Seattle right before the bye, and then all of a sudden you've got T.J. Watt back, Bush back, Hayden back, Tuitt back, and your defense really starts to look like it looked in week one again with some of those personnel getting rolled back in. Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday. They got Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contest running every Wednesday through Friday at noon at 93.7thefan.com on our contest page. Is one guy doing enough? Yeah, it's not great work in front of him, but is he doing enough independent of the people in front of him? What'd you think of the way Ben played yesterday? We'll get into that at the top of the hour, about 12 minutes from now, 8 a.m. here on the Fan Morning Show. It's the morning after, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Fourth and one, down two scores, less than 9 minutes left in the ballgame. Mike Tomlin decides to kick it instead of going for it. Did you like that decision, or was he living in his fears, perhaps? We get into that at 8:30. Najee Harris yesterday asked if there are, any positives at all for him personally, individually, coming out of yesterday's game.
More experience for me. So the game's starting to, slow down a lot. You get an understanding of how defenses play things. Later in the game, you understand how, what type of defense they're in and dropping a lot of guys like the Raiders, coverage. Just how certain guys play, fit certain runs. You just get a better feeling of the game.
Look, I don't know if there's many bigger fans of Najee Harris than me. I was a huge fan of drafting him despite the needs they had on the offensive line with that first round pick. And I think he's going to be great. I don't want to say he's not doing enough because it's not that. It's just my expectations were a little bit different in that, yes, he looks great in space. I thought he would be able to turn more no-gainers into 2 and 3 yard carries.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said this morning. And 1 yard gains into 3 yard gains. The offensive line is terrible. He's getting snowed under. But he's not winning individual battles to the point where he, again, turns no gains into 2 or 1 yard gains into 3. I think he's having a lot more tough sledding than he ever anticipated with winning an individual battle on the edge. I also thought that Najee Harris would be a guy who would, and maybe he needs to do this moving forward, when something isn't there, just cut it up quicker, cut your losses, and get 2. Just
don't dance.
It's okay to do that, especially in the NFL. You don't have to try to get 15, and then the cost of that is getting zero or going backwards. I think that that has kind of saddled him a little bit over the first couple games.
I also do wonder about the play calling in so much as, like Doug Whaley said last Wednesday, and we can follow up with Doug on this Wednesday with Whaley, about the rhythm for him. Like, he rips off that 14-yard gain, and they do go right back to him. And like you said, he gets snowed under. Like, the offensive line just doesn't block anybody, and they lose two. And then at that point, you're faced with, I forget what it was. I want to say it was like second and 12. You're okay to still turn around and hand it off again and see if you can't break another one. And their default position is still put it in the hands of Ben, which I know we're going to get into greater detail about Ben and the way he played at the top of the hour, but with Najee being that kind of rhythm back, if that's what he is, as Doug insists that he is, and I find it hard to disagree that he can be better the more touches he gets, I wonder if you do have to deal with more negative carries early on in the game in order to build that up and get him going.
Well, they have to come to the decision if they want. What is what's the easiest way to deal with a bad offensive line?
Right.
Do they want to have them pass block and continue to try to pass block and have Ben kind of get it out quick and revert to that some? Because they kind of did that to Juju early a little bit. And if you go pace, that can work within the throes of that. Or do you want to just have those guys try to run block and bulldog people, squeeze a game a little bit, and have them kind of inch by inch, 3 yards by 3 yards, try to win football games?
Right.
That's a distinct decision that has to kind of be made here. I opt for, and I honestly think, and it's quizzical to me, how it took so long to get to pace, how it took so long to get to quick. And they don't necessarily traditionally huddle, right? They don't go into a huddle, but it takes a long time. They do sometimes. It takes a long time for the play clocks running down to get the play in. When they just go quick, they move the football a lot better. And I don't know why they don't do that more.
And they didn't necessarily call it, like you said, it wasn't necessarily no huddle. Ben clarified after the game, well, that's just our two-minute offense. That's the way we handle it. And they did. They looked much better. Ben looked more comfortable. The offense as a whole started, I thought, to find a little bit of rhythm. I think a penalty in the middle of that ended up slowing it down. But go right back to it. Try it a couple times in the first half. See if that gets the defense on its heels. You've got to do anything and everything at this point to try and find some sort of identity and rhythm within that identity on offense. Because you're not going to find – everybody keeps talking about finding rhythm on offense, whether it's in the run game or wherever it is. You're not going to find rhythm if you have zero identity. And I still don't think this offense has an identity.
One of the identities I think it should be is that with the center. Okay, we saw a couple times – now he got blown back a couple times. We saw him get to a different level, and I think that he is in pretty good shape. So it starts there. With the guards, yeah, I don't know how Trey Turner is, but you go that way. Then your skill guys. You have all those receivers, and you have Najee Harris. One of the advantages I think the Steelers should have is that they're in better condition, especially in a day like yesterday where it was pretty hot. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and pace and rhythm and go after them. That they were making hay when they went quick. That's what I don't understand. Get up to the ball and go. Get up to the ball and go. That doesn't mean you're throwing it all over the place. No. That doesn't mean you're Hal Mummy, five wide, air raid or anything.
You can hand it off every time in a two-minute offense if you really want to.
When it runs faster, they play better. And that's the one part of Canada that I didn't understand yesterday.
Yeah, it was – there's just not enough, whether it's the quick pace, whether it's – the jet sweep stuff like Juju's touchdown run, whatever it is, it still feels like this offense is incomplete. And they're taking bits and pieces from here and there and not just going all in one direction. That one direction in particular should be...
Well, it feels like Matt Canada light. And I said from the very beginning when they hired him, you can't do it halfway. You need to immerse yourself in the lifestyle, all of it, do it, sell yourself out to we're doing this, or you don't hire the guy.
And how much better did they look when they did go all – again, we'll bring up the Juju touchdown run. When Ben rolled out at one point, I was like, okay, here we go. We're doing some things that look Canada-like that can buy Ben an extra second, too.
You know, you take the scoring drive, right? The Najee Harris 25-yard pass. Shotgun, Najee Harris left. They ran left guard. He runs for three. Claypool, they hit that pass deep to Claypool, right? That goes. They go no huddle. They keep going. They throw an incomplete pass to Deontay Johnson before the 25-yard pass. So, and then somebody spit on somebody's face, which ruined all the momentum, it seemed like, after the touchdown. But all of that, it was fast, fast, fast. Let's get up to the line and let's go. And That's the part I don't understand, especially on a hot day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.